conversely, if I would say to her, I really want to go see the Fantastic Four, which is something we had discussed before she died. She said, okay, but you'd be going by yourself. And it wasn't said in a mean way. It was the way that we did it. She was my entire life. What you heard on the radio when I would complain about her, that was partly true, but mainly shtick. I love her. I loved her with my whole heart. You guys only knew her as a voice on the radio. And I know an awful lot of people called up and would complain when she was on. But I didn't tell you this then. I'll tell you it now. You know, it was plotted out on our part as a way to get people to connect with us. And she was great in that regard, with the exceptions of illness with our son or situation with her family. She would go with anything on the air because she supported me. Because if I didn't, no one else would do it. That's why I say some of the stupid stuff I say on the show. So think if I don't say it, no one's going to say it. I don't care if you think I'm a dope or an idiot, an uneducated hillbilly. That's the picture I have painted of myself for you, because that's the role that I'm playing, and it's the role that Frieda helped me play. Our relationship was deeper than I can tell you. For instance, we came back from vacation. I was looking at my notes before I found out about the accident. I'm thinking, I guess we would talk about War of the Worlds, which we had seen and liked, but there were people that were talking, and we had a big discussion about, you know, buttered popcorn and if it was good for you or not, and stuff like that. What I would not tell you was, like, the unique intellectual relationship that Frieda and I had, which is another answer to how could she be married to me? Because if you listen to me on the radio, you might think, the guy's kind of witty, but boy, he's the luckiest guy in the world. This guy's just as dumb as a box of rocks, and what the hell's he doing on the radio? Well, ain't stupid. Okay, and that's a joke. When I say ain't, my wife saw that side of me, and we would have a deal, which we did on our last vacation, with books. There would be a book that she would want me to read, and a book that I would think she should read. We tried that for, I don't know, a couple of years. Finally, we realized it sucked. But we came up with a plan that we had been using. And on this vacation, the book she wanted me to read was The Da Vinci Code. And the book that I wanted her to read was Blink. Now, the book, The Da Vinci Code, is about spirituality and the beginnings and where things come from and theories on life, etc. The book, Blink, which I had read, was about how there are some people who are able to instantly make decisions and not think twice about it, which is something that I know Frieda admired about me. And my point here is that what we had learned to do was this. We each had the book, and we didn't want to spend the time to read it. But I had read Blink. She had read The Da Vinci Code. On every other night, take about a half hour, we'd sit out on the deck, have a drink, have a cigar, and we would discuss the book. Meaning, she would give me her take on The Da Vinci Code. And we would discuss it back and forth. And then the next night, same situation, just us out on our deck. And we'd have the book there. We could reference the book. But we found for us it was the easiest way for us to share stuff without having to go through all the crap that you really didn't want to go through. It was just one of the things that made our relationship, I think, so unique. She was loved, and she knew it. God, I found this. Give me a second before I read this. I want also everyone to know, I think I mentioned my son is doing fine. My wife's family is doing fine, and I know a lot of you are concerned about Big Frida. She's also doing fine. I'll let you behind the scenes on something that right before we had gone on vacation, there had been talk that Big Frida was going to be moving out of our house, and I played that up, you know, about what an inconvenience it was and what a pain in the ass it was with the coffee machine. The truth is, there was no controversy. Big Frida was welcome to stay in our house until she, you know, goes to where my wife is now. It was her decision. She wanted to get out and experience life again. I'm talking about Big Frida. But there's no way to get that message across on the radio. When you're talking to people who know you, but don't really know you. So we all just goofed around. Yeah, we're getting sick of having her around. And yeah, I mean, we might have had a fight the day before. But like everything, it was exaggerated. If it was an actual, true, real life emergency, it would never have made the air. Never. Never have made the air. Frida taught me through her, the way she lived her life, and through her family, what family was about, you know, how screwed up my family life was, and continues to be. But Frida's family, and I mentioned this to them more than one occasion, you know, now they're stuck with me. They are my family. And I could not have gotten through 3 weeks without them, specifically without Robbie, my sister-in-law Robin, who I love very much and has been great. So is my sister-in-law Judy, my brother-in-law Doug, and the whole family. Everybody's been great. Also, I really should thank, I'm just so disjointed right now. I think my neighbor Cecily. I know that there are some of you out there probably wondering, because of what you've heard, with the way that my life was run on the air, that I must just be sitting in a house with piles of bills and no idea how to do anything. And the truth is, on the night that Frida died, that was a concern of mine. I called Mike. And he said, do you need anything? And I said, well, you know, I've only got $200. That was the deal Frida and I worked out. That was my walking around money. I got credit cards, but I don't even know what the password is to Quicken or any of my accounts. Well, that was all quickly resolved. Of course, she had backup files. She had a list of passwords for me. And when I was getting into the computers at home to get through to find some of this information that I had to find, I found that she said even more typical Frida. She loved games, mind teasers, brain teasers with me. I would turn on the computer, that's fine. Load Frida's setting, no. Password required. I can't tell you how, but I came up with it on the first try. I had no idea, but I knew that she knew that if I was in that situation, that that's what I would type in. When I was was going through all of the documents that you've got to go through in a situation like this. I found this, Saturday. I was in our safe at home. Cracked the code on that one, too. Figured that one out. And I was looking for a copy of Frida's will. And she was so organized, everything was in there. There was one envelope that just said, Mike. So I took it and thought, well, this must be something about me. This must be, you know, one of my forms from a car or a house or something. So I opened it up, and it was a letter that Frida had written to me on October 16th, 2004. Excuse me. I'm going to read it to you now because I believe... First, I don't believe everything happens for a reason. I don't think there's some master plan. But I think my wife is in a much better place now. Whenever God takes somebody, someone is taken from us, I do really believe what I've said on the air all along, that everybody goes to heaven. But for somebody as sweet and as decent and as gentle and as loving as my angel, she is in front row. I know that. And I knew that from the moment I heard that she was dead. She writes, Dear Mike, again, this is written almost a year ago. Dear Mike, I dreamt last night I died. I hate to say it because it sounds like a jinx, and I like Earth, but I thought I should write down some thoughts just in case. And it seemed like less of a jinx to write them down than to tell them to someone else. I think of Lee with his letter to Judy and Leo, remarking on what a good life he'd had and why I don't want to make my own auspicious comments. Let me break in for a second and tell you she's talking about her brother, Lee, who had passed away 5 years ago, and my brother-in-law, Leo, who had passed away as well. So she writes she would not want to make her own auspicious comments. However, in my dream, it was my turn to go. And there were things I wanted to tell my loved ones but could not. First, I wasn't afraid and I felt no pain. I just saw a light so bright, it made it hard to see anything else. I had no idea what was happening with my body. I was very peaceful, and wanted my family reassured how much I love them. Don't be sad for me. I am fine. My only sadness was that my family would be sad, but I knew that they would be okay. Kind of like when your toddler drops an ice cream cone and is so sad, so you comfort him, feel sorry for him, but you know he's really okay. Just know that all is all right, and as it should be. I am happy. Mike, I love you so much. I am so proud of you and Bart. I have been so lucky to have my family, my mom, my dad, my brothers and sisters. Our spirits are connected. We will be together again. Frida, 10-16-04. Like I said, just put in this drawer in a safe. That up until 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't even want it to open. I had no idea. You know, what's in there? Passports? Documents? I don't know. That's a beautiful letter, though, and that's how I believe that she is now. Bart is doing great. I think I mentioned this before. I'm I apologize if I'm repeating myself. He and I are moving on with our lives. He has become more mature than I ever could imagine. On the Friday with the viewing, he was there for me because there were so many friends and such an outpouring that I was having a hard time handling it. And he was strong as a rock. And he would pull me aside, say, "Dad, are you ready to talk to so-and-so? Dad, do you want to talk to so-and-so?" And then conversely, on Saturday, at the funeral, he was losing it. And it was my turn to go to my son and say, "I am here for you." He had wanted to say something and found that he couldn't. He was overcome with emotion. I said, "Don't worry about it. Yeah. Do what you need to do. I'm here for you." When people would say, they would say it to Frieda, not to me, "You know, how can you be married to him? You folks just didn't get it. You didn't get it because we didn't let you in on it because it wouldn't have made for great listenership. We had a bond, a love that could not be broken, that we would never, ever be separated except for a situation like this, which I never imagined happening, despite what jokes I would make on the air with Rob about how we would do in our wives. And here's a bulletin for all you listeners. They knew we were kidding. They were okay with it." She was the most positive person that I ever knew. She helped me to see better side of people. She helped me to learn not to act on impulse, to think things through, while at the same time going with my first gut instinct. During the vacation, there was lots of family over. At one point, I pulled her aside and I said, we got to get these people out of here. And she said, "Why?" And I said, "Because I just want to be with you." And she went down and she cleared out the place. And it was just she and I. I'm so glad that I had her for so long. I'm so glad that she knew how much I loved her, how devoted I was to her. When people say, "How could you be married?" They didn't know. We had a bond of love and trust. I'll give you an explanation. A lot of guys in business, they put some of their stuff in, like a spouse's name, in case you get sued, which Mike and I have been sued a couple of times. So they say, you know, the important stuff, you put it in your wife's name. But, you know, always leave, you know, make sure you're covered. Well, for the last almost 24 years we've been married, I had had more than one lawyer, well-intentioned. Don't you realize that, I mean, if you guys split up, you're screwed. We're never splitting up. Never splitting up. Why would I want it any other way? I never fathomed that I'd be alive and she'd be dead. I trusted her. I loved her. She got me to tap into a spiritual side that I didn't know existed for me. That I don't bring up on this show because it's not the proper place, the proper venue. She was an incredible woman. I talked to a friend of mine, George Michael from Channel 4. A couple of days after Frida had died. And somebody called me and said, turn on Channel 4. And they're doing a very nice piece on Frida. And I knew that George had to have something to do with that. Because, you know, Mike and I stink worse than dead fish at Channel 4. But it was nice. And I called George. And, of course, he said I didn't have anything to do with it. I know he's lying about that. And I said to George that he should really treasure what he has with Pat. That's his wife. And George doesn't talk about this, and I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning this. I told George that he and Pat have a marriage much like Frida and I. She's his producer, more or less. I mean, George calls his own shots at Channel 4. But there would not be one event or one function that we would go to where we would never fail to see them together. And I also mentioned to Dude Walker and his wife the same thing. But those are two couples that I saw who had lives that seemed in that regard, as far as their relationship went, to parallel what Frida and I had. And I said to both of them, you know, not that you're not doing this now. Don't ever take her for granted. Because I was so, so lucky to meet someone like Frida, who shared my passions, was my soulmate, my best friend, my confidant, knew me inside and out, and vice versa. I think these guys have similar women with them. And I just had to call George and tell him that. You know, I don't know what to say when people ask me, how are you doing? No. What do you say? How do you think I'm doing? My world's freaking upside down. But I gotta go on. I gotta move on. The commercials are gonna be screwed up today. That's too bad. I want to also take a second here. If you bear with me, this is not like an Academy Awards thing, but I'm probably not going to have the chance to thank these people. Of course, all of the people at the station and on the show know how much I love them, and I appreciate their support. But besides that, at the viewing and at the funeral, I was blown away by people who work in this business, some of who I never even thought would show. I never conceived that I'd be holding court for Frida's funeral. But I wanted to thank a longtime friend of Frida and mine, Surf, from 94.7, for showing up. He's a good friend, always been there. Donnie Simpson, who was just such a pro and had already been to one funeral that day. It meant a lot to me that Donnie was there and we had some good times. Lou Katz. Stupid old Steve Kingston. And Jack Diamond. If you can believe that. Marilyn, our friend, Frida's friend, my friend, Marilyn called and said, Jack Diamond wants to know if he can come. And my first thought was, well, hell no. Then I thought, you know, he's not doing it to like make it a bit on his show. The guy wants to pay his respects. That's what Frida would want. me to do. So I said, sure. And Jack Diamond, who I've talked about on the radio for, oh, now 15 years, you know, the back and forth. Well, he's a jerk and he's a no talent and I'm a big mouth, and it was the back and forth, back and forth. All of a sudden I realized, you know, we were both doing our shtick, but here was a guy who was being genuine. And his kindness blew me away. Now, you're never going to hear me say that again on another day, but that's absolutely true. Also, I know that it would have been easy for a lot of disc jockeys to make this event a gag on their show. Word has gotten back to me, and I appreciate the fact that Howard Stern just discussed it with class. Opie and Anthony did the same. DaveDCRTV.com had pages and pages of beautiful letters that Frieda had written about, people had written about Frieda, and I thank him for that. There were so many things said and written about Frieda. Mark Fisher wrote a couple of paragraphs about her in the Washington Post, and that was greatly appreciated. Kind of hit the nail on the head with what Frieda and I were all about. I'd also like to thank Richard Roper with the Chicago Sun-Times that, you know, over 20 years since I've been on in that market, he remembered Frieda. That was wonderful of him, and I appreciate it. Willard Scott and Ed Walker, letter from Willard Scott that would make you cry. I will not read that to you, but I thank him and Ed as well. And just because of, oh, Ron and Fez, of course. Ron and Fez, who were there Friday night. I know you guys are gone now. I knew you were gone. I love you guys and thank you. And even today, coming in, there's just boxes of mail. And I get this. It's your typical condolence card. Don, I've had you in my prayers. All the best to you. God bless. Your friend, Rick Dees. Rick Dees. You know, a lot of my radio friends have been supportive. Cleveland Wheeler, Landecker, everybody from the old days, Dave Robbins. But it's when you know, I mean, I don't know my point here. My point is that there are people that have been incredibly kind to me in this time, and I appreciate it. And I think the reason that they are able to is that they also know that what I do is an act. I hope it will not stop you from listening to the show when it goes back to normal tomorrow. Or when we play best of when I get done here today. But it will go back to normal. And just know what my family knew. I'm doing a show. I'm doing a show. The real me, while I'm full of faults and insecurities, the real me was when I was with Frieda, and when I'm with Bart, and when I'm with those that I feel the most comfortable with. In real life, I'm a pretty gentle guy. I don't lose my temper. I tell those around me who are important to me how important they are.